Good morning, church. We are in the book of Habakkuk, and it says we're going to make it to chapter 2. I assure you that will not happen. There's a lot in the book of Habakkuk, and so if you'll be turning there, I have a few short announcements. Yesterday was the Walk of Life, but next Saturday morning is the Ladies' Walk in the Park. So don't confuse the two. If you did the Walk for Life, wonderful. Next weekend at Lake Chabot at 9 in the morning is the women's ministry, is the ladies of the church, whoever wants to go that's a lady, will meet at Lake Chabot to do a walk in the park. Hopefully they'll take a GPS. So they'll be back in time for lunch. A little bit about Corona, the virus, not the beer. So there's a lot going on and new things coming up every day. I assure you that we will do our best to abide by whatever the authorities are saying. In some places, some congregations have already been asked to not meet. And so usually that's because someone in the congregation has tested presumptively positive or positive for the virus. And so then they've asked the people. This is mainly in New York. We know they're not as holy as we are in New York. So our faith is high that we won't have this. However, if that's the case, you may join us on Facebook. We will continue our services there if for some reason the government deems it not safe for us to meet. This week they have asked already for there not to be any large gatherings of people. We're a small church, so I assume that's fine. If you notice, we didn't do the greeting, nor are we going to be doing much in the way of hugging or shaking of hands, just to help be safe from that. Also, we ask if you have a fever or a cough or any of the other symptoms, whether it's the flu or whether you might have coronavirus, it doesn't matter. If you are not 100% well, what should you do?
Stay home.
Stay home, right? Do not touch me. Coronavirus is like a germaphobe's worst nightmare. It's, literally one of those things. Tish and I were in a stairwell one time because an elevator broke. And so we walked down like 5 flights of stairs in this hospital, and we get to the bottom, and there's a doorknob. And I look at the doorknob, and I said, "We're gonna die in this stairwell." And she says, "Why?" And I'm like, "There is no way I'm touching that doorknob." And she's like, "Oh my gosh, I'll take one for the team." And she opens the door, and as I walk through the door, I'm like, "Don't touch me." Right? I will literally stand in a bathroom for who knows how long until someone walks in the door so I don't have to touch it. But anyway, all kidding aside, be safe. If you end up being quarantined and you need something, call the church office, call someone in the church. You've got the directory. Use it. We can help each other. We need to be a network of bodies, not just individuals. Okay? So if you run out of food or whatever it may be, call us and we will help you get that. Most of you have, if you call the office, even if I don't, if I'm not there to answer the call, if you leave a message, it goes to my email and I will get the message. So please call. The same is true for Arlie and Ben and others in the office, and Connie as well. Okay, so going to Habakkuk, I think, did I announce everything I was supposed to announce? Oh, men's. The men's retreat is coming up. If you have the handout from this morning, it says reboot here. If you are interested in going, but maybe funds are tight, we have scholarships available and funds for that. So we encourage you to go, even if funds are tight. At this point, it's on, and we're excited to go. It should be a great time. Which brings me to something else. If something goes sideways with coronavirus and we don't meet as a body, and this is one of those things where we have to kind of be sensitive, please continue to be faithful in your giving, because we'll still need to turn the lights on and be able to have electricity and to pay staff and to support our missionaries abroad and, you know, all of those things. If you normally give, you might up that a little bit because some people won't be able to give if they're not here. And then we have a mail slot there. You can always drive by if the church has to close and drop it through the mail slot. If the coronavirus comes close to us, just so you know, I'm going to tell the staff to stay home. And so they won't be on campus, but we have a mail slot. You can still reach us by phone or email. So we'll be there for you as absolutely much. And Sunday services will continue without exception. Like if I'm in my room and I'm dying, I'm still going to preach. It'll just be briefer. And I may not look quite as good as I do normally. In school, there were some classes I had that were more difficult than others. And I remember looking at the instructor when I would say, hey, I need help. And you've all had this experience where they come over and they bend over at your desk and they explain it to you. And you look up and you're like, that was absolutely no help. Right? It's like, I don't get it. So, for instance, in geometry, I was great at geometry. And then they said, okay, we need you to write the proof. Well, the proof is it came out right. Right? And they're like, yeah, but why did it come out right? Why does that matter? It's right. I could not do proofs. So the first half of geometry, I had an A+. I didn't miss anything. I know my geometry. Then they're like, okay, so second half of geometry, we have to write the proofs. And I'm like, we'll see the first half, because I was right. And for some of us, that's all that matters, right? And the same thing is with Habakkuk. So remember, we looked at last week this question that Habakkuk had. Why is it, God, that I look around me and I see injustice and I see violence and I see our own people coming up against you and ignoring you and having no regard for God, and I cry out to you and it's as though you do not even hear me? Habakkuk begins the oracle by asking God a fairly simple question. Why are you allowing me to look at this? Why are you allowing this to happen? I'm not even sure that you're hearing me. So the evil that he's decrying is not in a foreign country. It's in his own yard. It's in his own home. It's his people who are ignoring God. The priests no longer honor God. The people have absolutely no regard for him. Justice has been forfeited because justice, true justice, is founded in the principles and on the word of God. Same thing we're seeing in our country today. You know, why is it the innocent are punished or suffer But the guilty go unpunished. Well, it's because we've taken the law of America away from the foundation, which is the justice found in the law of God. In his time, there was complete and utter chaos in the country. And it's assumed Habakkuk, right, works in the temple. So of all places that there should seem to be order and it should seem to be okay, he is seeing the same chaos within the walls of the temple that he is seeing in the people. In fact, it's emanating from the temple because the priests have no regard for God or his law. At the same time, we've got Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, where he's going around saying, look, you have no right to assume that God is going to save you. You don't worship him. You have no regard for him. The Babylonians are coming, and we're going to perish because we have turned our back on God. And then I think it's in chapter 11 where Jeremiah, basically the people of his own city, tell him in Anareth, which is about 3 miles north of Jerusalem, they tell him, hey, you can be here, but you may not declare the word of God. You're not allowed to speak against the people. You're not allowed to preach. And if you do, we will kill you. Kind of the same thing that we see happening all over the world. You can be a Christian all you want, but you're not allowed to say a word. The silencing of the declaration. So there's this growing threat. We had the Assyrians, and then I have a map. Can we put up the map? Awesome. And I had a pointer, but it doesn't work. I bought a pointer because our screens absorb light. So I bought one that would show up anyway. It doesn't. But we have over here above the Persian Gulf, the Babylonian Empire. And northwest of that, you see where it says Assyria. And then down south through Palestine, we see Memphis and Egypt. Let's see if it's on the map. It's not. So right where it says Syria, right in that area, is a city, yes, awesome, called Carchemish. And so what happens is Babylon is moving forward, and Assyria decides to have a battle there in that city. Forces from Egypt come up north to help Assyria, and Babylon wipes them both out. Just cleans the plate. And so Jeremiah and Habakkuk are watching all of this happen. So when Habakkuk writes, that battle has happened less than 3 years prior. He sees the Babylonian Empire headed to Egypt, and he said, okay, I'm not stupid. The only way for Babylon to get to Egypt is if they march through Palestine. In a normal time, it would be okay. But it's not normal. They've turned their back on God. They've taken Nineveh. They've been defeated at Carchemish. The Egyptians are just ripe for the picking because they've already defeated the king in battle. They just need to march down and take the bounty. And Jeremiah and Habakkuk are saying, what are you doing? When we need God the most, you are turning your back on God. Still, Habakkuk is praying that God will spare the people. He implores God, why aren't you hearing me? Why aren't you listening? It's kind of one of those things. When our kids were little if they came up and they said, Daddy, can I, or Daddy, would you, or Daddy, anything, I would answer them. But if they elevated it, what would happen? Well, I would ignore them. I'm very good at ignoring people. It's a gift, right? The louder you get, the more able I am to ignore you. And if you really full-on scream at me, it actually triggers this thing in me. It's a thing, right? I start to laugh. I think that's funny. When my son went to boot camp in the Marines, he had the same problem. It's not a good thing when your drill sergeant is screaming an inch from your face and you start laughing. It's one of the reasons I didn't go into the military. And it's one of the reasons Tish doesn't yell at me. So God finally answers Habakkuk. In verse 5, he says, look among the nations and see. Wonder and be astounded, for I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if you were told it. Okay, this has got to be where Habakkuk says, excuse me? Right? This is an answer that, or not an answer that we would really be expecting. Or, you know, look and wonder. Now, we love to hear from God, and we would have understood if he said, look and wonder, I'm doing this amazing thing. I'm going to spare the people. Remember when Moses, you could kind of see Moses having this conversation with God when they're out in the desert and the sea lies in front of them, and Moses cries out to God and says, have you brought us into the desert to perish? And you know God said, look and wonder at how I will deliver your people. I mean, that would be the answer that Habakkuk is hoping for. That's the answer he wants to hear. But God isn't parting the sea this time. This time, he's not sending manna. He's not providing a pillar of fire or any other escape from impending doom. So then look in verse 6. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, who march through the breadth of the earth to seize dwellings that are not their own. Notice he says, for behold, I am raising up. He's not allowing the Babylonians to march into Judah. He's not allowing them to march into Israel. He's raising them up for the purpose of marching through the land. He's using the Babylonians to accomplish his will. Rather, he is actively engaged in what is taking place. This is not a surprise to Habakkuk. It's not a surprise to anyone who knows the Word of God. So you heard in Deuteronomy 30, I'm going to read it again. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live. They know, Habakkuk knows, Jeremiah knows, they have made the choice that God has laid out before them. God was clear. Choose one. Choose life and blessing. Choose death and curse. But it's your choice to make. God had promised them, he had told them, as long as you love me, as long as you keep my name in your mouth, as long as you are faithful, I will be your God 100%. But there's a problem. And we see it among us today. Some of the reasons you can imagine, and I talk to pastors, I hear it all the time. It's interesting to me if you run into someone who doesn't go to church anymore. They used to go. Maybe they grew up in the church. They're faithful. And you say, well, why don't you go anymore? Well, you know those Christians. They're hypocrites. Now, this is a trick question. But would all the hypocrites in the church this morning, would you raise your hand? Okay. No, keep your hands up. If you're a hypocrite, keep your hands up. Now look around, because anyone who's not raising their hands is a liar. Right? So either way, you're done in. You're either a hypocrite or a liar. It's like being upset with someone when you go to the gym and you see someone there and they're fat. Well, that's where a fat person should be, is in the gym. They're trying to get fit. Well, where should a hypocrite be? Well, they should be in church, learning the Word of God. Where should a faithful person be? Well, they should be in church, worshiping God, right? So it's this idea of, well, you know, somehow. And really what they're saying is, I'm too good for it. I'm better than a, it's a pride issue. And I see it all the time. Someone will get offended because someone said something or someone did something or they didn't get their way about something, and they walk out the door and blame the church. That's not how things should be. Pride should never enter into the worship of the church, pride should never enter into our worship of the Lord. Amen? See, somewhere in here, we're the body of Christ. He is our head. This is where it goes from us upward. So then when we're squabbling, the problem isn't with the head of the church. The problem is with us, and we need to fix that. God told them, as long as you keep your eyes where they're supposed to be, as long as you're fixated on me, things are fine. When things go wrong, what we've done is taking our eyes off of him and put them on ourselves. When I hear someone derailing against the church, almost always it's a pride issue. They've taken their eyes off God and they've put them on themselves. Now, I got to tell you, there are churches where abuse happens, and some people have legitimate hurts and legitimate complaints. But when we're hurting the most is when we should be drawing the closest to God. That is when we should be reaching out for that. But instead, human nature, which is a sin nature, causes us to retract and pull back. God now goes into this and he starts describing the Babylonians to Habakkuk in verse 7. They are dreaded and fearsome. Their justice and dignity go forth from themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards, more fierce than the evening wolves. Their horsemen press proudly on. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle, swift to devour. They all come for violence. All their faces forward, they gather captives like sand. At kings they scoff, and at rulers they laugh. They laugh at every fortress, for they pile up earth and take it. Then they sweep by like the wind and go on, guilty men whose own might is their God. Notice in verse 7 where their justice comes from and where their dignity is defined. It is in themselves. It's where their justice comes from. It's where their rules are. But the Bible says, where does justice really come from? From the Lord. Where does dignity get its definition? Right? From God. It is not from ourselves. We would all love to be able to write the law books. Right? How many of you have ever gotten a speeding ticket? A few of you. How many of you are lying about getting speeding tickets, right? And we would love to be able to say, yes, but that wasn't just. I was going the speed of traffic. Okay, if the sign says 65, and everybody is going 70, and you're going 66 and get a ticket, are you in the wrong? People are like, well, I don't want to say yes, because then I have to admit I was. You're in the wrong. The speed limit's 65. Now I got to tell you, 65 seems like such a relative number to me. I mean, when you drive by the sign fast enough, I could swear it says 80. But if I get a ticket for doing 80 in a 65, what justification do I have? If I follow the law, and God says, by the way, I'm the foundation of the law. So here's the deal. If you're going to speed, biblically, if you get caught, you can't fight that ticket. You got to suck it up. Because justice comes from the Lord. If you're doing 80 in a 65, like Tish drives exceptionally fast, right? It's like the freeways were like five lanes, right? Last night they're open and we're going to Walnut Creek. And I'm like, well, they're not exactly open, but if you do this enough, you can find a path forward. Tish will say she doesn't speed, but I got news for you. She doesn't drive as fast as I do, but she wrecks more cars than I do. So there are guilty men, you know, they're guilty, and they're actively pursuing violence, the Babylonians. At the end of each conquest, they look not forsaken. They're not trying to just establish a kingdom and then that's okay. Their goal is world domination. Their goal is only to conquer and to kill, to build themselves up, to enrich themselves. Their eyes aren't on the God of heaven. Their might is their own God. Their whole purpose for existing is to be better. I want to be more powerful. I want to be more wealthy. I want, and they're adding to that goal. The people of God have rejected the Lord as their God. Therefore, God has given them over to the God of their choice. Habakkuk sees what's coming. He's read the word. He knows what it says. He's heard the words of Jeremiah crying and the other prophets. Our faith brings things. So when we look at Habakkuk and he's pleading for the people, and God is answering him for the people of Judah, Christianity brings things down to a personal level, right? We have a personal relationship with God. We also have a corporate relationship with God, which is when we meet like this. But Romans 1, verses 18 through 20 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness, and no one can excuse it away." This is why people hate Christians, because we're a reminder of what they know to be true, right? It's when the officer is writing you a ticket for going 80 in a 65. At that moment, you don't like that officer. And the reason you don't like him is not because of any tangible reason, for the most part, unless you know him. The reason you don't like him is because he's reminding you of something you know already to be true. There's a speed limit, and you went beyond it. There is someone in higher authority than you, and you have decided to thumb your nose at them, and now there's a price to pay. And boom, you don't like that officer. It's the same way as we look around the creation at us. We know because it declares that there is a God. When you look at the DNA of a person, that doesn't happen by accident. It couldn't possibly. When we look at all of the wonders in creation, and science only gives us more insight into the marvel of God's intelligent design, you cannot literally be of sound mind and reject intelligent design. It doesn't work that way. Everything in creation reflects the attributes of God. There's no one that can say, "I didn't know." There's no one that can say that God was not made apparent to them. All we have to do is look at each other and know that there is a God. Now, sometimes we're like, okay, God, but with that one, I mean, you have a sense of humor. But there is a God. We know He's there just in the things that He creates. The Babylonians are coming. There's a time of reckoning that is on the doorsteps. God will not allow injustice to go unanswered. It cannot be that God will be ignored or that He will be relegated to anything less than what He is, the Lord God, the Almighty. So those in society today who demand that we forget God will answer for that one day as our country falls further and further into unfaithfulness and lawlessness. We'll see more and more of what life looks like for those who practice ungodliness and unrighteousness and lawlessness. Already we see the sin that has consequences. The family unit is no longer respected. Children no longer obey their parents, nor are they forced to. That life is no longer sacred. The innocent are slaughtered in the womb and in the streets. Our prisons are bursting at the seams. The word of God is perverted, oftentimes beginning in the church. The rule of law is no longer feared. Fathers abandon their responsibilities, both to their families and to their God. People demanding more and more, yet refusing to work. The list goes on and on and on. And this is what Habakkuk is seeing in all of the same areas. He's seeing the destruction of the temple from within. He's seeing the destruction of society from within. Priests ignoring the God, their God. The people no longer having regard for God. Justice being perverted. We should be praying the same prayers that Habakkuk and Jeremiah are praying. Hopefully, we'll get a different answer than Habakkuk. However, we have to know that we can't live in complete rebellion to God and not expect to answer for those actions. We can't expect to live in a godless society and expect God to bless that society. We'll see next week as we continue the study that, you know, Habakkuk is saying, yeah, but you're blessing the Babylonians. Well, he also blessed the Assyrians. And then 50 years later, he sent the Babylonians to wipe out the Assyrians. So now he's blessing the Babylonians, but there is coming a day of reckoning for them. He's blessing them not because they're evil and godless. He's blessing them to serve his purposes, but he will always judge godlessness. He will always judge injustice. He will always judge rebellion. Still, as we saw last week, even under judgment, God has promised to the faithful that our Redeemer lives. We saw it in Job. We see it in Habakkuk. In Jeremiah 31 and all of the prophets, God has an ultimate plan. and he is faithful to fulfilling his will. It's going to happen. So as we look at our society around us, we need to be a people that understands that God is a God of justice. He is a God of mercy, and mercy will ultimately play out. But between now and then, we may have to deal with the Babylonians. Between now and seeing our Redeemer, we may have to sit through some difficult times like Job did, like Habakkuk did, like Jeremiah did, and all the prophets before them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that even in difficult times, we know that you are faithful. Father, we know that there will be a day of reckoning because you're a God of justice, a God of holiness, a God of righteousness. So, Father, we pray that you would build in us a desire to be ever more faithful to you, even in the times that we are going through where faith in you is scoffed and laughed at. Father, we pray that you would help us be strong in the face of a lawless and godless society. Father, that our faith would be what holds us, that we would live by faith, knowing that our Redeemer lives. Truly, you are an awesome God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.